So I've been thinking about boys. Now, I've got three boys of my own, and some are on the edge of starting to be called men. And then I was thinking, you know, we've got some great girls in this church, but we've got a lot of boys sort of coming up in this church. We've got, you know, Alistair and William and Quinn and Frank and Ross and Carmen, I mean Ross and Corbin, you know, Evan and Jesse, and just all these wonderful little boys coming up. I've also been thinking how, you know, it's sort of an interesting time as our society shifts. How do we function in this? So I've just been thinking about boys, and that led me to think about a boy in the Bible who we are introduced to in his story even before conception. And, you know, your immediate thought might be Jesus, because, well, we're in church and we're Christians and we follow Jesus. But I'm going back Old Testament, back to Samuel. And Samuel is a fascinating story when it starts, you know, talking about his life. It's the boy Samuel. So we're going to talk about the boy Samuel. And he became a man. He became a great prophet. Sort of the transition from the judges who ruled Israel to now we got a king, so now we need prophets to speak God's word. And he's one who was really tied into what God was saying. And he appointed kings and gave important messages. But he started out as a boy. And even before that, we hear the story of his mother, Hannah. His mother, Hannah, she and her husband so wanted a baby. And they suffered from infertility, and it was just a heartache for her. But back then, there was a solution. It wasn't to go to some clinic, it was to get another wife. So her husband got another wife, and that wife started producing kids, and that even broke Hannah's heart even more. And the other wife wasn't exactly nice about it. That even broke her heart more. And they lived about, you know, a day's journey from the tabernacle, the worship place of the Israelites at that time. And once a year, they would travel there and offer sacrifices. And Hannah would go and pray and cry to the Lord. And each time, she just became so impassioned that the priest came up and totally blew it. You know, it's always the fear of a minister or a priest or a pastor that you're going to step into a situation and just totally blew it. And Eli totally blew it. He walked up to her and she's going, blah, 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 blah. And he's like, what are you doing drunk at the tabernacle? And she's like, no, I'm totally sober. I'm not drunk at all. That'd be wrong. And she explains her story. And he goes for the recovery and says, okay, let's pray about this. And he asked for God's blessing on Hannah, and she goes home and shortly thereafter conceives. But one of those prayers she had offered was, Lord, if you give me a child, I will commit that he will serve you and he will minister to you in your tabernacle, in your temple. And so she gave birth to Samuel, and once he was weaned, probably 2 or 3 years old, she takes him in a little roll and goes to Eli and says, okay, he's here to serve. And that was Samuel's start of going from early childhood. And every year, Hannah would visit and bring a new little robe. And that's the start of the story of Samuel. So we pick up in Samuel chapter 3. So if you want more detail on that, go back and read Samuel 1 and 2. But Samuel chapter 3, the first 11 verses. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. One night, Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel answered, "Here I am." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" But Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lie down." So he went back and lay down. Again the Lord said, "Samuel." "Samuel?" I don't know. How does God sound? I'm sure. "Samuel." And God got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me?" "My son." Eli said, "I did not call you. Go back and lay down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, And the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. He wasn't a prophet yet. He was a little boy. The Lord said to Samuel a third time, called to Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli. And he said, "Here I am. You called me?" Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. So Eli told Samuel, "Go and lie down. And if he calls you, say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood there and called as the other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." And the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle." And he goes on and gives his first vision to Samuel. This is the word of the Lord. So a fascinating, unique story. There's none like it in the Bible anywhere else. And there are a number of stories like that that are just totally unique in the Bible. You say, "Well, that's probably never going to happen to me." Okay, well, I'm not a little boy anymore. That's definitely not going to happen to me. I don't sleep in the temple. That's not going to happen to me. I wasn't given away by my mother. That's not going to happen to me. But in it, there are universal truths. Things that apply to our lives. Things that we can learn from of how God is and how we can be. So I encourage you to pull out your sermon notes if you haven't already. There's a sheet in your bulletin where you can follow along and write things down that you want to remember. It just helps with the remembering what God is saying to you at any given moment. But who did God call? First question, who did God call? Well, he called the person already serving. I think that's a very interesting thing to see is, okay, God's saying, "Samuel, Samuel." Well, Samuel was already ministering before the Lord. It wasn't, "Well, I'll wait till God says something, then I'll do it." No, I'm gonna do my part, and then God says, "Hey, I've got something more for you." And that's really what I want to just start with, is everyone is called to faith in Christ. Everyone. God says, "I don't want anyone to perish. I want everybody to know this. I sent my son for the world." But God calls the faithful to more. So you're called to have faith in Christ, faith in the Lord, and put your life in His hands. But then, if you're faithful, God says, "And I've got more for you. I want you to be open to that more that God may have in your life at any moment. God may say, 'Oh, here's another opportunity. Here's something else you can do.' But I also want the children of this congregation to be in a place where they're growing up and they can understand what it means to love God, what it means to love other people, and what it means to be open to the more that God might have for them. I want them to have implanted in them a love for God and love for God's word and empathy for people and an openness to God's call." Go back to Samuel. The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days, the word of the Lord was rare. There were not many visions. So, this was not a common thing. This was not that happens all the time. This was a unique thing even then. And here we have that boy, Samuel, who, as I said, became a great prophet. To the point where there's already a king, that king's gone bad, and God says, "Okay, I'm going to appoint another king. He won't serve right away, but we're going to appoint him now. Sam, you'll go do this." And he goes to the family of Jesse, and there are seven boys, and Samuel's tuned in so well to the Lord. Big, strapping, young, kingly voice. Son comes out, he's like, "Nope, not that one." Another talented son. "Nope, not that one. Nope, not that one." Tuned into God to say, wait. "You've got another son you're holding out on me, aren't you? Oh yeah, well, he's out watching the sheep. No, bring him to me." Yes, that's the one. And he anointed David as future king of Israel. This is that Samuel. But he didn't know what he was hearing the first time. He didn't know. And sometimes we don't know what we're hearing. Is this God? Or is this the world? Is this my boss calling, saying, "Samuel, I need you to come, get me a glass of water"? Or is this God calling, "Samuel, I've got a message for you"? And I think that's a trick in our lives, and something for our children that we need to be tuned into of, okay, yeah, maybe they're called down this career path or that career path, but maybe those talents and gifts that they've been given and those desires and passion are God working in them saying, no, I got more for you. Okay, you know, one of my friends from high school, Tom, you know, he was really gifted mechanically, you know, went to school and became a great mechanic on airplanes. Now that's a pretty good career if you want it. But he said, you know, that's my ability, but I feel God calling me to use that in Peru to repair missionary airplanes. And he went to Peru as a mechanic for airplanes in for those people flying to places where nobody else could get other than little Cessnas and Pipers. So we need to be open to what God might be calling in our lives and in the lives of those we influence. Because sometimes it is just, hey, we need to do this task. But other times, God might be calling. And if we're not listening, if we're not careful, if we're not willing to say, speak, your servant is listening, we might miss it. I mean, just imagine if Eli was like, well, I don't know what this kid's doing, but I'm thirsty right now. Yeah, maybe I did call you. Could you give me a drink? You know, what if Eli used his ability and influence to just get what he wanted? How much Samuel would have missed out on? How much different life would have been? And we are each guides for the next generation. And we need to be willing to listen to where is God breaking through in their lives and how can we encourage them to listen? How can we encourage them to follow? How can we encourage them to pursue God? Because the reality is at times we're going to get it wrong. I mean, it took Eli, three times to figure out what was going on. You know, sometimes we can miss what God's doing the first or second time. Sometimes we can be like that blind old man who just would rather get a little rest. But God is patient with his purposes. I love that. Normally three strikes you're out. No, three strikes you get it, and fourth time you are actually moving in there. God was saying, I've got a purpose here. I'm going to accomplish this purpose, and I'm going to be patient to make it happen. But there's something in this that makes it all work. There's something in this story that is really important, and that something is obedience. So I want you to write down the word obedience. See, a number of you didn't even do that. You know, we choose when we want to be obedient these days, you know? And obviously, you know, I'm not up here as an authority saying, yep, write this, write that. But it's interesting how I tend to be one of those persons. Somebody tells me to do something, I say, why? Should I? I'm like my dog. We've got a great dog, but it's like whenever you give him a command, he stops and thinks about it. It's like, well, is it worth it? You know, but in this story we see obedience of, you know, go lay down. Okay, I'm going to go lay down. Okay, hey, come. Okay, go lay down. Hey, somebody's calling me. And we see Samuel being obedient even when he didn't understand what all was going on. And that's something that we can be missing in our lives is following the simple things that God lays out as here's how to live. Here's how to treat others. Here's how to listen and be part of what I'm doing in this world. Because especially with children, obedience is taught. Children need to learn obedience, and that's part of what teachers and parents and authority figures and even mentors do, is help children learn obedience. And not obedience based on fear of, oh, well, I might get in trouble, so I better obey. That's very prevalent, and it only goes about this far. It only goes until the authority's not watching anymore. But obedience based on love, based on respect, based on understanding, that obedience of even maybe, you know, I don't understand right now, but I understand that this person wants what's good for me. I don't understand right now, but I understand that there's something bigger at play. But that type of obedience that kids get from consistency in their lives, consistency of those who love them, of showing that love even when they're idiots, even when they lose their brains, but we are going to be consistent and loving. and expect obedience. Because when kids learn that, internalize it, becomes just part of who they are, God can do so much more with them. Just like God did so much more with Samuel, because Samuel learned, okay, he says this, I do that. And this obedience is a powerful thing that when we expect this of our children, it grows. But it also, it means that if we expect our children to respect us, we have to respect them and listen to them. It goes both ways. God called that boy Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. My hope is that whole list of boys and many others that may become part of this church can say that in their lives. Speak, for your servant is listening. My hope is that the girls in this church can say, speak, for your servant is listening. My hope is that each one of us can be open to God and say, speak, your servant is listening. But for our boys to know how to respond, they need to have us doing something. I sort of boiled it down to three things that we can be doing. We can be an example for them. We can be a guide for them, and we can be an encourager for them. Of showing what does a life of faith look like? What does consistently following the Lord look like? What does, helping others and caring for others and having empathy look like? And then, beyond just being an example, being a guide and saying, you're a little out of bounds there. No, this is a reverent time. No, this is a fun time. No, that person's hurting. Let's listen to them. Being a guide and then encouraging them. We don't get it all right. I mean, we've got Eli, the priest, who's got all this experience. He's not getting it right. He didn't get it right with Hannah. He didn't get it right with Samuel the first three times he was called. But we encourage the best we can. And we all need that encouraging so that our boys can know how to respond to God, how our girls can respond to God, to hear that call of God to be faithful. And then when we're faithful, to sometimes be given special assignments. We want to help our boys become godly men. We want to help our girls to become godly women. We want to help all the children who God brings into this church to become godly adults, people who worship God, love God, serve God. And we do that by being that example, by being that guide, by being that encouragement. We all have work to do in the lives of our children. We all have work to do as children of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you and praise you that Jesus came to make us mature, that we can grow into the stature of Christ, that we can become more like him. But one of the roles that we are given as a congregation, as a group of believers gathered together, is to help the next generation do the same. Lord, thank you for the guidance from your scripture. Thank you for your faithfulness in our lives. And we just pray a special blessing on the children of this church, that they may know and grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen.